verses 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, that is, love life, and the use of the tongue that leads to life, shall eat the fruit thereof. A man's belly, that is, his own innermost being, will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. I believe the assumption in this text is that he is speaking good things, and in return, his own inner being will reap the fruit of his good things. Because look at the last part of the verse, where the same thought is repeated in different words. You see, in the Hebrew poetry, you have contrast, or you have amplification and reiteration in different words, which is what I believe we have in this text. A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, that is, good fruit from good things that he has spoken. With the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. In other words, he sees what he says bringing holy fruits and holy increase in the lives of those to whom he has spoken. Then this frightening text: death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think of it. Death and life in the tongue. Death and life in the power of the tongue. All the way to spiritual life and spiritual death, because by thy words in the day of judgment thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We need to teach our children that if their words do not demonstrate that they have a righteous heart, all God will need to prove in the day of judgment that they are wicked is not that they visited brothels, not that they watched pornography, not that they cussed and swore. No, all he'll have to do is produce the whisperings that sowed seeds of doubt, the words of contention as opposed to the soft word that turned away wrath. Just bring forward the unrighteous uses of the tongue, and that will be enough to say, as I consign you to hell, your words prove you were never made righteous in your heart. Our children need to know that. It's not enough for them to say, oh, everybody does. I mean, you know, God doesn't expect. No, it isn't. It isn't enough. We've got to tell them until grace so works in their hearts that grace frames what comes out of their lips. And when that which cuts and scorches and pierces and wounds and hurts and causes contention comes out, the proof that they're righteous is they're willing to humble themselves, it's necessary, 50 times a day to seek forgiveness, to heal the wounds, to bridge the separations, to cease the contentions that their lips caused. And if that's not so, they're not bringing forth fruits meet for repentance. They're lost, they're unconverted. And if you regard them as Christians, you're as deceived as they are. And some of you parents, God have mercy on you. You have projected to your kids your own unbiblical standard with reference to this very issue. Your tongue can cut and scorch and wound. And you won't humble yourself. You just think, well, the dust is settled, time has passed, that's enough. Try to convince God of that in the day of judgment when he says your words are the basis on which I'll damn you. Folks, this is serious business. You're beginning to feel the cumulative weight, passage after passage after passage.